The last time we got together, we looked at Abraham. We looked at, you know, what it means to truly walk and to be forged into that good steel. But today we're going to look at another aspect. And this aspect is walking by faith means trusting God in others. And I think this is one of the places where many of us have a difficult time in walking our life of faith. So as we turn into the book of Acts, we're going to see here just one of the many places where we are given the instruction of that very reality, because God does not want us doing this alone. It takes all of us to make the church happen. The Lord Jesus left us, but He did not leave us alone. He gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all of this, but it takes all of us. He left 12 who then went out and taught others, who then went out and taught others, who then went out and taught others, and they were all trusted with this message of the gospel, and the church was built. That's why you're here today, because someone shared it with you. So as we read these words, Acts 6, 1 through 7, let us turn our attention to the Spirit of God. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. What does this scripture tell us? It tells us quite simply that you and I cannot do it alone. We need help. All of us need help. Life was not meant to be something that you do alone. God said in the very beginning, it is not good for man to be alone. So He created woman, and she's been telling us what to do ever since. No, and the two became one. Isn't that amazing? Because when we look at the body of Christ, no matter how many of us there are, we become one in the Lord. Because we all come together to share who and what we are. When we when we look to the reality that we need each other, it says that I am lacking. Now that's something that a lot of people don't like to deal with. How many of us are taught, or how many seminars have you been to where the speaker, what are those guys called? Oh my heavens. You go there and they get you all pumped up. What's that? Motivational speakers. There you go. You go to a motivational speaker and they tell you, you all have needs. You know, we all have to be needy people. Well, the reality is, whether you want to hear it or not, you are one. We all need each other. Okay? No man is an island. No, not any man. God created us that way. You only have so many gifts, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But as we look at what the apostles did here and what they did, I think this is an amazing thing, because here the apostles, they have all the authority, right? They're the heads of the church. They have, at this point in time, they have all the authority, and there's some things missing in the church. There's some things happening that just aren't quite right. So the apostles, they get up on their high horse and tell everybody, just shut up and trust us. No. The apostles looked at it and said, you know what? You're right. Choose from among yourself seven men, seven godly men, filled with the Spirit. Boy, there's a key. There's a key. There's always keys in the Scripture. There's always principles that we need to follow. There's always things we need to look at what God's talking about. He doesn't say, go choose seven people that you all like. Did he? He didn't say a popularity vote. He said seven godly men filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a requirement. There's a prerequisite. And we need to do the same thing in our lives. We fill our lives. How many of us fill our lives with people? Every one of us. You know, you might think, well, I don't have that many friends. No, I didn't ask that. I said, how many of us fill our lives with people? You walk out that door, this world is filled with what? People. We go out to work. How many of you have ever been to Walmart and you were the only one in Walmart? Okay. You go to the grocery store. I love going to the Walmart and grocery store when you're pushing your cart around and you got to maneuver not around just the aisles but around the people who want to stand and talk. I've got a place to go and a thing to do. What are you doing standing here? Some of you been there, done that, huh? There's a reason why we need each other, and it's understanding that reason. But one of the awesome things here that I love is the reality that it says, the apostle said, we will turn this responsibility over to them. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Did the apostles keep any of the power in that, any of the responsibility in that thing that was happening? Absolutely not. And this is one of the things that I want you to understand. Pastor has tried to do this throughout his ministry. To some places it avails much. To other places it didn't avail very well at all, because there were places where the authority was already there before I came. And in those instances, I couldn't take it away from some people to give it to those who truly needed it, who truly should have been wielding it, because they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they were godly people. The awesome thing is, now I've had that opportunity. Now our elders have that opportunity. Now we can see to it that godly people are in charge. And guess what? Our responsibility is not to lord it over you, to tell you what to do in your ministry, but to watch your ministry and give you encouragement as you go, because you're going to grow in it. And I want you to grow in it. Are you going to do everything that I want you to do? Absolutely not. Because you ain't me, and I ain't you. But I need to trust God enough to allow you to grow. And that's one of the greatest aspects of who I am. I don't need to micromanage you. I trust you because I trust the one who is in you. And I trust that he's going to grow you into the person that he wants you to be through the ministry that you're going to have. That's one of the greatest aspects of trusting others, trusting God in others. Because if you don't see that the people that are around you that have that authority are not moving in their own authority, but in the authority of God. Remember, it says there is no power established except that which God has set. Amen? So if God has set that authority, if God has set those people in those positions through the church, through our governments, through our, you know what, I don't like Obama. Boy, and that just went out over the airwaves, right? But I respect him because he has a position that was given to him. I may not understand why we're where we are, which is a hint to read my article in the newsletter, okay? Because it's all about walking by faith, and we all need to start walking by faith rather than by sight. And understanding that God's in control, and I have to be able to trust him. You know what? Evidently, God wants our country to be in the mess that it's in right now. Have you ever read the book? Because in the book, we're nowhere in the end. We as a country, we as a people are, because we're the people of Christ. So evidently, God wants our United States in a mess. Because it's according to His plan, not ours. How many of you are okay with that? How many of you are okay with homosexuals getting married? How many of you are okay with abortions at demand? How many of you are okay? I'm not, but you know what? Read my newsletter article. You might find some understanding. Because you see, this is our time to shine. It's not our time to be a nation. God doesn't bless nations anymore. God does not bless nations anymore. He'll take down nations. He'll tear down nations. Okay? He will raise up nations. But what does God do? God gets involved in the individual life, doesn't He? Doesn't matter where you live. God's going to get involved in the life. And then He calls us to get together with other believers that we may be the body of Christ. Because we're a kingdom outside of a nation. We're a kingdom inside of a nation. We're a kingdom that belongs to Him. Because everything that He created is His. And as we begin to understand that when you and I work together, when you and I trust each other for what God has in you and what God has in me, who are we really trusting? You're trusting God. Now, does that mean I'm going to do everything right? You all know me. No. Pastor's going to fail, isn't he? Pastor's going to disappoint you, isn't he? Because I am not perfect. And I will be the first one to sing that mantra. And Ruth Ann will be third. But as we come to that place of turning over things to other people, that's hard to do, isn't it? Oh, that's so hard to do. Because if I turn this over to you, really turn this over to you, can I just hang on to the corner of it? No strings attached, folks. No strings attached. That means you've got to allow that person to make all the decisions. You're only there if they come to speak to you. You're going to trust them to be mature enough to come to you and ask for help, to come to you and ask for advice. And if they don't and they falter, we don't stand back here and say, well, I knew that was going to happen. That's when we offer ourselves up in service, just as Jesus did. And we go to them and say, can I help you up? I mean, isn't that what he did with Peter in the boat? That's legitimately what he did, not in the boat, on the water. He didn't tell Peter, well, you dumb sucker, drown. He stretched out his hand, didn't say a word, pulled him up, and said, we have little faith. Why did you doubt? He questioned him, didn't he? He questioned him. And in that questioning, Peter got it right, and he began walking on the water again, didn't he? Walked right into the boat, got in the boat. Now, how many times did Peter mess up after that? Quite a few. But did God trust him? Yes, he did. Remember, Peter is the one who denied Christ three times, and then God reinstated him. How many times? Three times. God reinstated him. Three times he approved him. Do you think Peter's life was changed by that? How do you think my life has been changed by the responsibility he's given me and realizing that it's my responsibility to give it to you, not to keep it? Okay? Miss Beth puts the bulletin together. Miss Sally puts our worship together. Okay? Miss Ruth Ann puts our prayer team together. Brother Bob does our care ministry. Brother Chuck and all the rest of the deacons are responsible for the property and everything that's set up around you. Folks, you have a responsibility. One of those responsibilities that you have, and I'm trusting you to it, is that you're going to write articles for the newsletter. How many did you receive yet, Dan? I suppose tonight by midnight there will be about 12 or 14 or 16, because you have a responsibility. It's been entrusted to you. And I trust that you're going to do what God's going to have you do. I don't need to beat you over the head. Guess what I'm doing right now? I don't need to tell you you have to do this. Guess what I'm doing right now? I'm doing it through encouragement because I need you. The church needs you in the positions that you are to give the information that's needed that we may all grow together, that we may glorify God and go out into this world and have a life that is so different that people want to have it. We were talking a little bit about that in discipleship hour today. You and I need to understand we cannot do this alone. The second thing that we need to understand when it comes to this reality is something that the apostles said here to the people. They said, choose 7 men from among you, godly men, who are filled with the Spirit and of wisdom. That means that if we are to walk by faith, we need to trust others who are also walking by faith using their giftedness. Okay? It's one thing to have faith in someone doing something, but if you've never seen that person do that thing before, if you've never seen that person have an inkling of faith in that area, that's also known as stupidity. Okay? Because if a person has never walked in an area, if a person is not gifted in an area, 9 chances out of 10, they're not going to succeed in that area. We can set people up to fail if we don't watch what we're doing. We need to walk in discernment. That's why in the Scriptures, the apostles admonish the people, choose from among yourself the people you like. No, choose from among yourself 7 godly men filled with the Spirit. There was a prerequisite. Are they gifted towards this ministry? Search them out. And then give them that responsibility. Don't hold on to it. Give it to them. Because if you're gifted to do it, how much are you going to want to do it? If you're not gifted to do it, I just asked you this just a few moments ago. Do you see how everything falls into place? If you are not going to pray, I'm just going to write your name on the list and you're stuck in it, right? Wrong chicken. Because if you're not gifted to it, you shouldn't be doing it. Number one, it's going to belittle you. You're going to feel like a failure. I don't want to do that. I want to raise you up. I want you to understand that God has empowered you. God has given you something. And that something that He has given you is His Spirit. Please open your Scriptures once again, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 11. Now, I chose this particular Scripture simply because of what it says in concern to the Holy Spirit. There are many other Scriptures that speak of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but this is the one that I wanted us to look at concerning where those gifts come from and who enables us to them. Because the list of gifts here are a little bit one-sided. They're a little bit more of the theological gifts. They're a little bit more of the charismatic gifts in some of the healings and speaking in tongues and that such, which I'm not going to talk about the gifts. I'm going to talk about the one who gave the gifts and what their purpose is. So from the 4th verse, we read these words. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Do you see how the writer here just evoked the triune God? In other words, all this stuff is already set by Him. Who am I to hang on to any of it? It's not mine in the first place, is it? The Spirit gives the gift that's given by the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings all the ministries into being, who is brought into effect by God the Father, who is the seer and creator of all. But to each one is given the manifestation, oh, I love that word, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What does it mean to be given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? That means He has come unto you. He resides in you for this particular reason. Okay? He has made Himself known to you in this reality. In other words, the gift you have isn't your own. It was given to you. It is God working in you. All right? Now, I'm going to pick on my soon-to-be daughter-in-law because she's going to school to become a PA. That's a physician's assistant. And I can tell you right now, when she was 6 years old, she was not gifted to be a PA. She was gifted to be a little girl, all right? But as she grew and as she gave herself to the Lord, and that thanks to her Nana, who brought her to church and allowed her to know the Lord and grow in the Lord, she has now a heart to serve others. And she is succeeding so well where others are dropping out. And I'm tooting her horn, and I'm grateful for her in my life and in the life of my son. But it just goes to show that when we walk in the Lord brings others into our lives who are meant to be there for a reason, for a purpose. Okay? Which, by the way, to let you all know, somewhere 2017, September, they're getting married. They don't know the actual day yet, but they've given us a month and a year. Each and every one of you is that special to God. That when you were 6 years old and being that child, when you were out there living your life and coming up through, you had no idea where you were going to go or what you were going to be, but God knew from the foundations of the earth what He was going to grant you, what He was going to gift you in to get you where He wanted you to be, the way He wanted you to grow, the person He wants you to become, that He may be used in and through you to His will. And as each and every one of us yield to those gifts, we will find that place, we will find those niches, we will find where God has blessed us, that we may be a blessing to others, that we may edify one another. It goes on. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The Spirit of God is that which brings us together. It's our unity. He is the one who has given us those who are apostles, those who are prophets, those who are teachers, those who are servers of tables, those who are helpers, those who are filled with the gifts of hospitality, those who are filled with the gifts of compassion. Each and every one of us has been given these realities through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can sing when Miss Sally plays, all right? If she's not playing music, you don't want to hear Pastor singing unless I know the song very well. Miss Sally's shaking her head, yes. Because I can't carry a tune, all right? I just can't do it. I'm not musically inclined. But she is. And she is my gift in that regard. Just as Mitch is my gift in making sure that the Word of God is gotten out there, and that through the Gideons, okay? Just as Brother Bob over here is my gift, he is my steadfastness. He's the one who calls me to accountability. You all wonder who calls Pastor to accountability? I'm going to tell you all right now. It's that man with his life, because of the way he lives and who he is and what God has set in him. It's not that he's above me, but that I allow him to be above me, because he's the one God makes me accountable to. And I love him, and I respect him. And that's why each of you see him for who he is, because of the gift that God has put in him. I look at Sister Marion, another one of our elders, the first one to pray for us here today. And I told her, being first is great because you don't have to worry about ever messing up because there's no precedence. Now everybody else has to meet her standard. But Sister Marion is a sister of helps. Oh, my heavens, a sister of helps. And I've never known anyone like her. I could ask Marion to do 10 things, and she'd say yes 10 times. And she should say yes 4. But that's Marion. I have Sister Arlene, one of the greatest administrators I've ever met. She keeps me straight. She runs pastor like a clock. In fact, we just had a meeting the other day, and she called me back just a few minutes later and said, oh, by the way, and we got it straight, didn't we? Because she is my administration arm. I'm a preacher. I'm a teacher. You all know that. I teach the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I love what He's done in me. But I need each of you, not only in my life, but in the life of this church, to be and do the things that God has set for you. You are that important to Him that He has given you something that is uniquely you and uniquely yours. And as a pastor, I'm not going to take it from you. I'm not going to say, well, you got to check with me on that. How many of you in ministry have ever heard me say that? I'll tell you, if you got any questions, go to the person who's above you. If they have a question, then they can come to me. Haven't I said that? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. I don't have to be in charge of everything. I have to trust God. Why do I have to trust God? Because my heart says to do so. Not because I have to, but because I want to. There's the difference. You see, the world says we have to do things, but God says, will you? Sounds like we've got a choice. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the reality that as we go through these series, because we're about done here, as we go through these series of walking by faith, you're going to be challenged all the way through Easter to look at your life a little bit differently, to look at where things are and how we're supposed to be. And it's not the way the world has taught us. One of the things that we need to understand and grasp is the two realities that I've given you today, that walking by faith means trusting God and others. We cannot do everything ourselves. We have to have other people in our lives. And we must trust that each of us will walk in our gifts for the common good. Now, does that always happen? No. You're going to find, I have found, and will continue to find, that as hearts are being transformed, people will do what people will do to emulate themselves, won't they? I think that was part of our stuff today for the Bible study. Because people are people. We're fallen. We still have a fallen nature, and we're struggling with it, aren't we? But the question is this: are you going to love people enough to let them fail and then help them back up and not lord it over them and set them on the path again? Isn't that what Jesus has done to each and every one of us? How many of us have failed and God has just, you're done? Every time I fall down, guess who picks me up? Dusts me off and says, okay, Rich, try that again. Just don't do that. Try something else. Because a lot of times He doesn't tell me what to do. He just says, go. Go. Make disciples. Go. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Go. And I can't go alone. I need all of you to go with me. And we need everyone that God is going to bring. Because brothers and sisters, we can't do it all. Would you pray with me? Precious God, I thank You for each and every person in our community. Because, Lord, as we truly grow to be that community, we will find what community means. It means a common unity. And that common unity is you, Lord Jesus, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, drawing us into that oneness that leads us to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Gracious Lord, as we give ourselves to walk by faith, not by sight, that we know we cannot do all things, we ask that you would empower us to trust others and to allow them to fail and to give them the hope that we have received, for we too fall short every day. But you lift us up. May we treat others the exact same way, lifting them up and giving them the hope of glory, to grow in maturity, both us and our hearers. For Lord Jesus, you've trusted us with that very gospel, and may it be true in our lives, now and forevermore. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving and praise. And God's church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.